Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, filmmaker Arthur DNA.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Aaron Goldberg. I am Mark Leger, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I've been so looking forward to this episode of the Life Changes Show because we have two brilliant young men on the show. And it's interesting because it has reminded me of certain things. Actually, let me start with my little diatribe from last week's show, where I talked about how the stupidest question is to ask kids what you want to be when you grow up. And so, okay, arguably, some people are served by that. But in general, I brought up some reasons as to why I didn't think that was a good question to be asking children. Well, another thing that we are doing, I hear a lot as a culture in various generations, actually, is complaining about the generation that's coming up next. And I think that's really interesting that on the one hand, we want to leave a better world for the next generation. And then on the other hand, we're complaining about that next generation. And in the case of millennials, a lot of people are saying some not nice things about them. And I just think, you know, and along with leaving them a better world, how about leaving them with a little bit more confidence? And how about helping build their confidence? You know, we have two millennials on the show. And I asked them, what do people say about millennials? They know. And this is what they said. Oh, you mean like we're lazy or we're self-indulgent or we don't care about anybody else or we're entitled or we see ourselves as important and others unimportant? I mean, these are direct quotes. And I said, how does that feel? And in so many words, they said it doesn't feel good or they're wrong. I mean, that's true about some people. But then again, that's true about some people in the world of any generation. And so, you know, what are we doing? Why are we complaining about them? Can we find some good? Because, you know, they themselves listen to this and then they need to find some good. And how helpful is that to the generation that's coming behind us or behind, you know, any of us that are on the planet today? How helpful are we being to them by complaining about them? How about helping them? How about encouraging them? How about asking them how they see the world, or why is it that they see things differently than we do? They might have some brilliant answers, and I can say that confidently because I am very proud that I know many millennials. I know people of all generations, and I just love so much that I've learned and grown from people of all generations, from literal babies to literal. I just had a conversation with a 94-year-old the other day on the phone again. So I know people from all walks of life and all of that. Everybody has their stuff. And everybody has something that they can contribute. And I think everybody deserves a chance. So I'm looking forward to these millennials showing you some of what they've shown us already and are going to be showing the world as they come into their own, as these two, in a sense, already have. So we'll be right back with Arthur DNA and Aaron Goldberg here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sierra Campbell, and Alan Roderick Jones, on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. You can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Lesher. And Mark, you just made me laugh. You asked me what's a literal baby. Of everything I said, you focused on something that I said that might not have made exact sense, but versus figuratively a person who's a baby.
This needs a whole nother show.
Yeah.
But I also wanted to say that you don't have to be a millennial to be lazy and self-indulgent.
Right.
So I say, if you spot it, you got it. To all those people that are,
it takes one to know one. Is that what you just said?
Right, yeah.
In other words?
Exactly.
And you know some brilliant people of all walks of life as well. And many of them are millennials. We're doing some amazing things.
That is true. It's clear that the shift is so evident if you step back and look at what these young masters are doing, both male and female. There's a lot of magic coming up.
So instead of complaining, maybe we have something to learn.
Maybe everybody should be a little lazy and self-indulgent.
Okay. Well, with that, it is my pleasure to introduce our guest tonight. He is a filmmaker. He's so much more, actually, but we'll mainly be focusing on his filmmaking today and his story that he depicts in his film and his wishes and desires for people. Arthur DNA, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Filippo, Mark. Just thank you. Jeez, I don't know. I mentioned when we got in here that hopefully I'll get over my imposter syndrome at some point during the show. And I needed to cathartically mention it to the audience just to get it off my chest so that it wouldn't block me for the rest of the show.
Good for you. And you know, it's interesting because I started asking you some questions and they seemed like a little bit like they were out of left field. And you looked at me at one point, and I said, you do know I'm a life coach, right? So to me, the questions make sense. And that's where this comes from. So you are not an imposter.
No.
And yet that syndrome exists because somehow you've come to believe that what you have to share in this moment is what?
Okay, so when you come to Hollywood, a lot of people tell you to pretend to be the best from the start.
Yes, fake it till you make it.
Fake it till you make it. You've heard it a million times.
Right.
And a lot of people that I deeply disdain to this day, now especially, told me that for years and years and years. Dress for the part, fake it till you make it, you know, own the room, things like that. My life only turned around the second that I got extremely comically self-deprecative, honestly. Like as soon as I was extremely honest with people about the only reason that I'm here sitting on this couch is because I was really, really, really honest to someone that we both know who mentioned me to you.
Mark Skelton. Absolutely.
Like one of the saviors of my life. But you know, I just decided to just tell him the absolute truth of what I thought about myself at this juncture, where my film was a complete, it was a sunken ship. It was under the water at this point, or bare, like some bits were maybe sticking out. And I described it like, I don't know what I described it far more uncensored than that, you know, just to give you an idea. I mean, I basically said things that I should not be saying on a radio show, on this radio program about myself. And Mark, I don't know, he responded so genuinely, he loved it, you know? He saw, I think maybe, I don't know how often people in Hollywood get to hear the truth.
I was just going to say, that's not very Hollywood.
Yeah, I think that might have been what did it. You know, I just told him, look, I think I'm a POS. I think I should be taken out back and shot. No one should ever trust me with enough money to make a film ever again for the rest of my life. I should be banished to the forest. And he just laughed it off and then said, let's have a meeting this Wednesday. And that, first of all, everybody's heard that before. Let's have a meeting this Wednesday. Okay, true. It was a bit. No, he started with let's have a meeting, and then he followed up with this Wednesday. Here's a location, and so I show
usually
up.
Usually, then it's I'll have my people call.
Well, it's never. I'd say 99% of let's have a meetings in LA, as soon as you're in LA County, are just, I won't be talking to you again.
That's a nice, polite way of saying move on.
But no, he never learned the true meaning of it. You know, he's British, so he never got, you know, and he just took it at face value and said, let's have a meeting. Met, and then just from there, it just kept being a legitimate thing.
Mark is a real person. I mean, he's a real heart. He's real. And so he recognized real, and that was one of the first things he said. It's like, you have to meet this guy, Arthur. He's real. So I am glad we have that whole thing on tape, because however many years down the road, when you have films that are amazing, you'll get to say, well, this is where I started. I really actually said that on my very first ever... radio show.
Any interview. I mean, I was interviewed once on a magazine. That's it. This is my very first recorded interview. I apologize if my voice sounds stupid. These are the thoughts that you have when it's your first time on a radio show. You think, oh, man, like the, you know, anyways.
See, so. and that's the point, is that you are not an imposter. It's the reason why you were introduced to us. It was why we were interested in inviting you on the show, because you... are a filmmaker. You have made a handful of films already, three or four, and so you had something that was semi, like, not a great experience in your last film, maybe even the others, and then with the help of you attracted somebody who was real, and he has helped you not only build your film, but in the process build your confidence and your self-esteem, and this film and you are tied in some amazing ways. So when we come back, we're gonna take it to the beginning a little bit of where you started out, way before Hollywood, and then some of the things that have happened on this film that are part of life changes. Your eventual positive life changes, and in some already so. So this is brilliant. I'm glad we're doing this. And yes, thank you, Mark Skelton. And we'll be back with Arthur DNA and a little later live music here in the studio with Aaron Goldberg, all on the Life Changes Show after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic. And The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen. And the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Dan Millman, The Green Children, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino, on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I am Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark LeJour and our guest, Arthur DNA. And so,
looking at me inquisitively at this moment.
Looking at you, exactly. Well, the thing is like we're real. The show's real and live, and so, even more inquisitively now. So, as I was saying to Arthur before the show, I am a life coach, and I take all of this seriously, whether we're on the air or off the air. And so Mark takes it very seriously too. He guides a lot of people in business and all of that. He's a consultant. And so Mark just said something that I think would be really important to hear.
We were talking about self-fulfilling prophecies. And Arthur was saying, any advice before we go back on the air? And I said, yeah, don't ever say anything bad about yourself again.
I don't know how to respond to that.
Yeah, you could just take that in.
I should just take that in.
I could tell that's just like...
Because the only thing I could ever respond to that with is resistance. I need to digest that properly. Because you know more than me, especially on that subject. So
I do, actually.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
And thank you, Arthur, for coming in real and sharing like that. And the reason we were talking about self-fulfilling prophecies is because you made a film imitating life, your life. And then because you made the film, you experienced life changes for a better life. So let's talk about life. This is kind of fun. Let's talk about life. Growing up, you were, how do we say it?
Undeservingly wealthy.
Is
that a bad
thing
to say about yourself?
You're looking backwards now, so there's a difference.
Okay. Right,
so you grew up wealthy.
Yes, but I think as a child I was really influenced by, morality tales, film, popular cinema, really the entire Western lexicon of culture. And when you look into it, you see, people deserve good things. People who do good things or people who get good things did good things to earn those good things. But when you're born and you know, and also my father is definitely, he's a big figure in this because he's a really great guy who did a lot of really great things to get wealthy, who started out extremely dirt poor in post-war France, who was born under Nazi occupation and then was given the chance only really to grow and change his life from being in abject poverty. To give people an idea, the border between France and Germany, you lost a few kids a year to unexploded bomb ordnances. Just in the late 40s and 50s, all the way to the 60s. And still today, there's several places in France where you can't go. You're just not allowed to walk there because the government has cordoned it off because they still haven't found all the explosives from World War I and II. I say that kind of history because that kind of history is important when you think about someone coming from that place and then them working as hard as they can for their entire life, first as a humanitarian, and then I would say doing, a business venture that's extremely important, which is trying to help, folks in the first world in the way that he does. You look at that, and then you hear all these stories about kids, horrible stories about kids in Vietnam who have leprosy. So the mom flings stones at those kids to keep those kids away from her other kids who don't have leprosy.
Oh, I haven't heard their stories. Wow.
Those are some serious things to grow up with.
Wow.
When you have an Xbox and a GameCube, when you have like five meals a day because you feel like it and life is really good. And so it was like I really needed to reconcile. I felt like I had to earn that. And it's harder, I think it's always been hard for folks to feel like they've earned their place in society. Not everybody gets to go off and kill a lion. And I think maybe it's not harder now than before. Some people say it is.
Yeah, and it's not cool now.
It's definitely not cool now.
No, killing lions, no, bad example. But you get what I'm saying. There's no rite of passage necessarily, but I'm not sure if there ever was one. Everyone always thinks that I always used to think that my problems, me experiencing these problems was the first time anybody in history had ever experienced these problems. A very limiting viewpoint to have in life. Because then you completely cut out the possibility of learning from utterly anything or anyone else in history ever. Mm. It's such a narrow viewpoint to have.
Especially if you're looking at history, how many heirs to how many thrones have received from a place of entitlement? Wow. And you're looking at it from completely the opposite perspective. Mm-hmm. And yet, have you ever considered that you're an extension of him?
Mm. Absolutely.
That you have the same DNA, to coin a term?
Yes.
And that, so you are part of all of that effort that has been done. You're not separate from it. You are an extension and deserving just by being.
Perhaps now that I've derived self-worth through my actions, I can maybe even look at that with anything less than just derision. But back in the day, it's a little bit, okay. I think that we are not necessarily our parents' children always. I don't know if everyone really is the causal effect of their progenitors, of their predecessors. Of course, we live in a world that exists only because, you know, we live through the ripples of what, I mean, there are words that we use today only because Julius Caesar existed, you know? We are definitely living in an echoing sort of chamber. But I also think that people can be really different from their parents. My dad is really different from his dad. And that might be a reason why, I guess, in that sense, what you said is true, because the only reason he went off to become what he decided to become is probably because his life wasn't what it was, and that was a result. I mean, what wasn't as good as it could be, and that was a result of, you know, his dad's choices. And
well, potentially another perspective is that your deservedness simply comes from your uniqueness. He lived his life.
Yeah.
You entered the circumstances you entered into with the blessings you entered into.
You know, there's a difference between truths and a useful belief system. And I think my belief system might not be true, but it is useful to me, to generating the kind of life that I've wanted to live. And if I'd even for a second been okay with what, you know, what you're saying, which I think is really healthy, a healthy way to think, but I don't think I would have been propelled to do the things that I did or change myself in the way that I did. And in that sense, all the bad things I thought and all the bad things that happened to me led me here. Perhaps I just gave myself an environment to adapt to. Perhaps my environment was so, maybe I am really a product of my dad's genes.
In that case, you're worthy because of your feelings of unworthiness.
Now,
right?
Yeah.
and you're meeting. Thank you, Mark. I mean, that's really beautiful. And knowing that Mark has a child, and knowing how he talks to his child, this is powerful for me to listen to this. You know, you're meeting Mark and this conversation now. You might not have met it, is what you're saying. You might not have met him and come to this if it had not been for what you've done to get here. And what Mark might be suggesting is, now that you're here, these are now tools for the future of where you're going. So much is entrusted.
No.
You're
completely
right.
You're completely right. Well, yeah, because I realized that finally, until you said that, Mark has been attempting to get my head out of the past from the second that he said you're looking backwards 7 minutes ago. And it went right over my head until you spelled it out for me. And I've been,
This is exciting. So because there's... The future is all of ours, and you are a huge part of it. So what you're bringing forward, especially through film, is really important, and what you're wanting to say in film. So I think what people actually have gotten to hear is a little bit or a lot of your thought processes and how you seriously look at this stuff. Right? So when you put it up on film, it's not like you haven't thought about it, right? You know what you're doing when it gets up there. As a matter of fact, your latest film, is it all right if I say this? Took you 8 years,
yeah,
four reshoots, two legal battles.
Yeah.
Who knows how much blood, sweat, and tears. And now we're really close to getting to see it.
We are two songs, a sound mix, and a credits sequence away.
Okay, I can't
That's
wait.
That's it.
I can't wait.
You know?
It's going to be called American Bistro.
I wanted to chime in because that Mark Skelton that we were talking about, and having met you, this authentic person that we're really now getting the chance to shine a light on, the first words he used when he mentioned you to me were brilliant, ingenious, deeply creative, and there was a whole slew of them that followed. So that 8-year journey is evidence of your ability to dive deep.
I'll work as hard as I can to live up to that approximation. In the future.
Okay, well, hopefully it doesn't take you 8 years to own that. Because I think as soon as you own that, you can do even more amazing things.
You know, the 8 years thing is interesting because I think the movie was a blueprint for for the kinds of life changes that I wanted to make in my life. You know, in a movie, your character is supposed to grow and change. I think that's why they're cathartic for all of us to watch. And at least the good ones, you know. And it really, I mean, when I look at it now, it's really just the dream version of how I would like to be, you know, on the inside. And it became, that's why we were mentioning self-fulfilling prophecies earlier, is because it really did become that. But it took 8 years.
What is the self-fulfilling prophecy?
The change that the character Edmund in the film, all the lessons that he learns and the trials that he goes through, I mean, it's very easy to look at them opening a restaurant as a metaphor for me making this film because it was extremely difficult.
Okay, so people don't know that opened up a restaurant. So I have to say this. So what Mark said is how Mark Skelton shared you with Mark Leisure, and with me, he said he's a real guy, and the film's fascinating, and it's so life changes. Is here we get to experience a guy who takes his life changes and puts them on the screen, and this happens all the time, but we have not had the opportunity to interview somebody in the middle of it who's putting it up there before it even gets up there, right? So here we are, and we're talking to you. There are so many things leading up to this, but I think one of the funniest parts is there's the guy in your film who's you is given money to go to college.
Yes.
Okay.
From his parents.
From his parents.
And then I suppose in a kind of subconscious or conscious expression of how little I thought I deserved that money. The character then takes the money out of the college fund in cash to hide it from the parents, forging the idea that the college had taken the money, and then just hides it in a bag under his bed until the actual catalyst of the film occurs, which is that his uncle, who is the only person who has the time or the kindness to pick up his phone call kind of cry of help at the beginning of the film, he's able to take that college fund money and put it into fulfilling the dream of his uncle, who is a 60-something-year-old man who just never opened a restaurant, who never chased that dream.
And who just happened to get divorced.
Well, yeah, he finds his wife cheating on him. Spoilers, but whatever. You guys are gonna go. You'll see it. He finds his wife cheating on him with his boss from the job that he hates. You know,
nice.
This job of security. Wow. And so then, you know, then my character decides to just in a drunken stupor give him the money. You know,
and the uncle's dream is to open up a restaurant.
Yes, and they do, and it's their trial of trying to open the restaurant, as was my trial of trying to actually make a movie in Hollywood.
Did you really do have an uncle?
I don't know. No.
No, you don't have an uncle.
No, but it's a surrogate dad. It's my dad.
Right. Yeah, because that's where I was getting. Yeah. So because who plays your uncle?
Because
in
my
the
dad
film?
Plays my actual dad, Dr. Marcel DNA, MD, like you know, humanitarian,
doctor,
Vietnam
yeah.
veteran, like Dr. DNA. He's the guy who was okay. He plays my uncle in the film. This has to go. I have to go back a little bit. When I first wanted to make films, you know. I guess it might have been a reaction to my sister's accident. So my sister, when I'm 11, she gets into a car accident that is not her fault. Now I see why you need to be careful of what you say on the air. But okay, she gets into an accident that she does not cause, and she goes into a 6-month coma, and she's handicapped, and it's a whole thing.
She becomes handicapped.
She becomes handicapped.
Yeah, she wasn't before.
She wasn't before. She's 16. I'm 11. And really, I think it was at that point. I mean, I always wanted to be a filmmaker. You know, I have home movies of me, you know, basically making films with my toys and telling my dad where to stand and how to hold the camera. And honestly, I've been doing the same thing for the next 24 years of my life.
Okay, nothing is different. Okay, so can I stop you there? So that's exactly why I've said everything I've said so far in the show. And what I said last year of stop asking kids what they want to be when they grow up, because you were already a filmmaker. You came as a filmmaker. And then you came in the show, and the first thing you said is, I'm an imposter, when all we said was, you're a filmmaker. Right? So somehow there was a limiting belief that you were an imposter when all we said was, you're a filmmaker, which to me is like saying, you've got curly hair, which you do. Which to me is like saying you've got dark eyebrows, which you do. And that's not being an imposter.
Right. You're right.
Right. So
that's interesting.
You, my new friend, are a filmmaker.
Yes.
And that's why you're here.
Yes.
And now... he sat up. And yes, I am. Yes, you are. Okay. So from that point, we'll have to come back, take a quick break. But, wow. All right. Wow. What's happening between the three of us in here is like, I just...
Thank you.
Life changes. Well, we'll come back with more with filmmaker Arthur DNA and a little later on live music here with Aaron Goldberg in the studio. And joining us after the next segment will be Dorothy Donahue with her Ask Dorothy segment, all on the Life Changes show when we come back after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and the little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Barbara Morrison, and Kyle Cease at our archive on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter, at Life Changes Show, and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I am sweating in here. I'm Voltaggio sitting here with Mark Lesher and our guest filmmaker Arthur DNA. So, what does it feel like to be a filmmaker, Arthur?
It feels good. I guess, as you said, I've always been one. So it, it's nice to admit it.
And as a filmmaker, you have some wisdom to share that you started to share during the break. And what's that?
Okay, so I think maybe I can't speak for everyone. I can't make a generalization, but I picked up from films that in life, or in films, the character, what they do is they do one great action, one great deed. You know, they resolve the problem at the beginning of the film, and then they live happily ever after. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And I think it took a long time for me to realize that's not life. And that might not even be films, because really that's just when the camera turns off. Mm-hmm. We don't know what happens to those characters later. Mm-hmm. Maybe they just had a respite from what life normally is, which is
a lot of disasters. You mean Cinderella and the prince got divorced?
I mean, who knows, you know? Maybe they had some troubles.
Couples therapy.
Yeah.
And that's okay,
there's
though.
Something there. We might have a new film here. Okay, go on.
No, that's just that, you know, that when bad things happen, I used to see it as a failure on my part, that I've brought something bad in my life, mm-hmm. and that I've failed, or that there's a disaster going on. Mm-hmm. And like the technical difficulties at the beginning of this, that's mm-hmm. just kind of, as you do more things and try to get more things done, that is just life. Mm-hmm. That's just a little, like, that's just waves crashing against your boat as you're trying to cross an ocean. That's mm-hmm. all it really ever seems to be. Because then, you know, they always pass. And that's something that took me ages to figure out. Ages. And if there's a bad thing happening to you, you did not really cause it. Like, you know, take agency, but sometimes bad things just happen and they're supposed to, or, you know, or they're not. Now I'm getting lost. I don't know yet. That next part, I'll work on it and I'll tell you all later.
I like that you're going there. And what I'm sensing is that you want to make films that help people not just have a happy ending, but know that there are experiences in life and how to deal with them, not just live happily ever after.
I mean, that's all that film ever has been to me, is just, it's been a manual on how to better, the good ones, the ones that really change you and make you think, you know? And that doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be like a massive, like, it doesn't need to be Stanley Kubrick. I mean, who knows? Maybe Fast and Furious changed you. Maybe, you know, something that people think is whatever. You never know what's going to fill that hole in your heart. But some things have. For me, tremendously so. And I just want to make somebody's life a little bit more livable and just get them through the week or the month or like every, maybe give them something that they didn't have that's going to help them for the rest of their lives. I don't know. But that's the only reason why I would do this and not maybe go and do what my dad did and be a doctor. And that's the only reason why my dad supported me so much, is because I think that he sees it the same way, you know, that that there is a great importance in art for helping people live their lives and survive the next day, the next trial. Yeah, that's it.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you all so much for having me. Thank you.
This has been wonderful. Arthur DNA, filmmaker. Thank you so much for being here with us. That was very special, very different, and life changes. And so that was wonderful. If you want to learn more about Arthur, he will have his film coming out. It's called American Bistro. He has, like I said, a handful or a couple films out there already, If God Wants, and a couple others. But we'll be hearing more from him, and we'll be sharing for sure. So with that, we move on to our Ask Dorothy segment with our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue.
Real quick, we have a shout out to give. I want to give a shout out to Brad Fox, who is a strategic advisor to Oceanic Global. Oceanic Global is a nonprofit that taps into universal passions of art, music, emerging tech, to educate individuals on issues impacting our oceans and provide them with solutions for driving positive change. They create immersive experiences that engage local communities, generate measurable impact, amplify the efforts of synergistic groups, and ignite global action. Check out oceanic.global. Ask Dorothy. Dorothy, I am Catherine, and I live in Venice, California, and I just seem to be unable most of the time to choose love over fear. My health has been challenging, and I'm afraid to go to the doctor to find out what's going on. I have no energy, and I am afraid of what might be the real cause. When I go into fear, I try to choose peace and love instead, but it is sometimes impossible. Do you have any suggestions for me?
My dear Catherine, there are more expressions of love than simply love and peace. When we aren't feeling well, our bodies are telling us to love ourselves and to pay attention to what is going on inside of us. Just recently, I was given a physical diagnosis that would put most people in fear. Since I've chosen fear way too many times in the past, I chose something different this time. I chose excitement. I'm excited to finally understand why I have been fatigued and so low on energy, and was happy to finally know the root cause of it all. Being excited about a diagnosis instead of being fearful is a wonderful choice for me. I know that I'm the power in my world, and that I can heal whatever my body chooses to show me, if I pay attention and do the work required to heal myself. For years, my dear friends have suggested that I needed to move more, to walk or to go to the gym. I've always agreed that these were great ideas, but I never took action. Now I'm walking and moving and feeling better and better every day in every way. All of this to say that when confronted with challenges, I have found a way to choose excitement over fear. I will close this with a quote from Bill Hicks' idea of what life is. The world is like a ride in an amusement park. And when you choose to go on it, you think it's real because that's how powerful our minds are. The ride goes up and down, around and around. It has thrills and chills, and it's very brightly colored, and it's very loud, and it's fun for a while. Many people have been on the ride a long time, and they begin to wonder, hey, is this real, or is this just a ride? And other people have remembered, and they come back to us and say, hey, don't worry, don't be afraid ever, because this is just a ride. So let's pay attention to Bill's suggestions and choose to be excited to be here on Earth at this time of planetary transformation. And let's get together and change things for the better. We can begin doing this by taking better care of ourselves and then doing our best to be in service to others.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And we'll be right back here on the Life Changes Show with our musical guest, Aaron Goldberg, right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, lifechangesnetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, Arthur DNA. And joining us in the studio is our musical guest. He's a guitarist, a singer, a songwriter, and he wants to make the world a happy place. Aaron Goldberg, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Look at that smile. Look at that smile. Actually,
smile.
You came in smiling, and then you said something about it was fun watching, because you've been watching this whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been sitting in that other room watching this whole thing with Arthur, and it was really, really nice watching Mark work with you, just like seeing the... It happened right there. I got to watch you kind of break down a wall for yourself, which is really beautiful. That's good. You know, you should be doing that, and that's what we all should be doing, is being willing to change.
Yeah, I was not expecting it.
Yeah, that was cool. Exactly. Very welcome. I wasn't either. I was like, ooh, this is what we're doing. I
says
like
the guy with the shirt that says, follow your heart.
Yeah.
You'll see that on in the picture. So actually, you were part of the ones that inspired the monologue about millennials and how, why are we doing this to people? You know what people are saying.
It's true for anyone can be anything. And I think it's all about, the effort you put into yourself and how much love you give yourself and then the people around you, because it's your small community that really supports you. Mm. And by taking care of them, they take care of you. And you take care of yourself, you can take care of them.
Mm. I love hearing this and reading that shirt. And I think this is the fundamental difference that the old folk don't connect with yet, which is that perception of laziness or self-indulgence, or these are the things that we're teaching now, is self-love and nurturing and following your heart and doing all the things that are not robotic and work for the system or truckle or all these other things. So, that ability to really just own who you are, that's the consciousness that are coming through you, and I love it.
Yeah.
And it looks different to a lot of people, and that doesn't mean it's all right. Sometimes the pendulum swings and we're trying to find the balance. So I think we can find it more together than we can separate it.
100%.
100%.
We work together. We work much better together.
And I'm going out on a limb here asking this, but how do you feel about older people?
I love older. Oh my God. When I was a kid, I always hung at the adult table, because they were super interesting to me. I liked hearing what, that conversation was more dense than maybe some I might be having with myself.
Nice.
Or my toys. Or like another young person at the party.
Or it's interesting that you mention or your toy.
Yeah.
Because that first song, the first song you're going to sing is about people getting into their toys.
Oh, that's the second one.
Oh, that's the second one?
On a better note, yeah?
I thought we changed it.
No, you want to end on the happy note.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We want to end on a good one.
Okay, so, all right. Forget everything I said.
But it leads in there. Yes. We can get lost in our toys, for sure. And one of my songs will be about that.
What are we getting lost in the first song?
In the first song, we're going to get lost in the ocean.
In the... Oh, right. Oh, this is bizarre. Okay. So, talk... Okay, because... Okay, wait. Okay, this is what he writes about himself. I love to make people happy. Music seems to make people happy, and making music also makes me happy. If I can make music that makes other people happy, then I, in turn, am generating an endless cycle of positivity and good vibes. What could beat that? So then I said, so what are you going to sing? Oh, my God, this song is about what?
This song is about a guy who got lost. He just left his life by going into the ocean and not coming back.
Okay, so him and his... No, he's watching this. Him and his friend are sitting on the beach. Okay. Tell the story.
My very good friend, AJ Lodge, who's actually a big part of why I'm here as well.
Hey, AJ. I'm here as well.
Okay.
Hey, AJ.
Thank you, AJ. Him and I were practicing on the beach, and, normal day, people out on the beach, and some guy we noticed go into the ocean. And we didn't see where he came from, but we saw him go in. And then as it got dark, we didn't see anyone come out of the water after we saw that guy go in. And everyone left the beach, never saw him again. It got dark, we left. And so hopefully we just weren't looking, which is totally probably what happened. But it gave me inspiration to write a story about a guy who just disappears in the ocean. AJ helped me write it.
You know what? What's it called? Just sing it.
Called God Only Knows.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
So here is Aaron Goldberg performing God Only Knows live on the Life Changes Show here at Studio NoHo.
God only knows that I'm lying in my sleep. God only knows that I'm lying through my teeth. God only knows that I'm lying in my sleep. God only knows that I'm lying through my teeth. And I always seem to be floating on the ocean with my back
toward the sea. I trade my memories and kind for my own solo submarine mind. The boys on the sand know nothing of my right. As I float away into the tide, finally free from reality, the tree falls out of me, and I don't know where it lands. But now I see something new. It doesn't look like me or you, but now you're free from what you're used to. Cause God only knows that I'm lying in my sleep. God only knows that I'm lying in my sleep. I said, God only knows that I'm lying in my sleep. God only knows that I'm lying through my teeth. And I always seem to be floating on the ocean with my back towards the sea.
Woo.
Nice. Wow.
So yeah, that's one of the only songs I've ever written that's about someone else and through their perspective.
Wow.
Which is fun, but really tricky.
Well, it's through his perspective, but it's through your perspective.
It's my take, perspective of what might be going
on.
Yeah,
exactly. Yes. That's Aaron Goldberg, and that's in his album, I Don't Know, right?
No, that one's actually on Self, which is the album just before that.
Oh, okay. So that's from a previous album. It's called Self. That's available wherever
music is
sold. You can
find it on Bandcamp and probably Spotify, I think. Maybe.
And is the next song we're going to hear from I Don't Know?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Wait, no.
No, not even?
Nope.
Okay.
So, yeah. I haven't worked those ones out live because they're mainly done in my studio all alone, and it's hard for me to figure out how to do that live, and it takes extra stuff. I didn't want to have to.
Is this the first time you're on a radio show performing live, right?
It is.
This is so cool.
It's awesome.
Welcome, and congratulations to both of you.
Thank you very much.
And you're both doing such a great job. It's great. Great. So when you work them out, let us know.
Yes. You got it.
But in the meantime, this is about something very interesting. Talk about millennials and a lot of people that are getting into their
toys.
Into their toys. Right. Actually, it could be toys in
computers.
General. Because it's about people being anonymous, is it?
Yes. It's about people really taking advantage of the fact that behind a computer screen or your tag on Twitter or whatever your name is, that you can be someone else and not take responsibility for your words or actions. And that's really odd to me. But it's apparent all over the place, and people are much more mean online and more aggressive than they would be in person.
This was the song that was going to leave people in a happy...
Yes. Because it feels good.
God only knows.
You know, it's kind of like Jack Johnson. It's like he sneaks in messed up ideas in like a...
I'm just playing with you. But you're actually making me think, which is what good art does, as far as I'm concerned, or art does, or can. and so you're making me think because, yes, it's easy for us to feel anonymous when we're on Facebook or what have you, social media. But, you know, I guess in our cars, we could also be that.
We feel like we're on the bubble. But it's very
much... You
can
cut people off, and it's not you. It's that guy in that car.
Yeah.
They don't know you.
No.
Right? And you can get away with it.
And we give ourselves the ability to get really mad at others for doing something like that when maybe they're in a medical need. And they're rushing to a hospital. You know,
yeah.
we allow, it goes both ways.
Interesting.
It's really weird.
I like how you're thinking.
I try to think about from both sides.
Yeah, wait, you're a millennial,
sides.
Right? I like how you're thinking. That's really
yeah, right? It's weird. We're not all such assholes or jerks.
Oh, stop. Oh, hey, Mark, can you work with him?
Well, after the show.
I'm sorry.
Did you not hear Mark? And I know you're kidding. Okay, this is called what now?
This one is called Computer Screens.
Computer Screen.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's from the previous album, Self?
This one...
Oh, you don't even know what this is from.
It never even made it to an album.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no, okay. It's on Self. Yeah, it is on Self.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
So is this kind of like one of those things that you're kind of changing the future? It never really was there, but from now on it's going to be...
No, I promise. You could look it up. No, it's on Bandcamp.
Just kidding.
AaronGoldberg.bandcamp.com.
Yeah, so go to AaronGoldberg.bandcamp.com.
Dot Bandcamp. That's where all of my music is for free to download, and you can stream it on Spotify and Apple Music and things like that.
Can they give you money there if they want?
Yeah, you can donate.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. And then they can also follow you on Instagram, and that's just Aaron Goldberg.
Yep.
And then on Twitter, it's Aaron.
It's A.A. Goldberg.
Oh, A.A. Goldberg Music. Okay. All
Some
right.
People
well,
call me
cool.
A.A. Ron.
So, So what's this called? I'm an asshole behind
computer
my computer
screens.
Screen?
Yeah, just... exactly.
All right, all here's right. Aaron Goldberg performing Computer Screen live for the first time ever here on the Life Changes Show at Studio NoHo.
Kids today that hide behind computer screens will always have more to say than they actually mean. Kids today that hide behind computer screens will always have more to say than they actually mean. When they complain about the things they want instead of being grateful for the things they got, or talking about the ways that they could get them, it makes me wanna hit them. Instead I just turn my computer off, which I suggest that you try sometimes. Well, others keep yapping their mouths online. The bombs they drop arrive on time, but you don't care 'cause you're outside. Kids today that hide behind computer screens will always have more to say than they actually mean. Kids today that hide behind computer screens will always have more to say than they actually mean. And that's me.
Oh, nice. Dang. I love it. You had me smiling.
Good.
You were right.
See, and yeah. Definitely smiling. And another first on the Life Changes Show. We've never had a millennial sing about kids today.
Yeah, that's nice. Yes.
I almost laughed before I started. I remember this.
You know, I don't know if you know any filmmakers or anything, but if you do, that would make a really cool short, you know, video.
Yeah.
I could see that going viral. You know, the kids today might probably really like it.
Yeah.
And if you get a millennial to make it, they might know how to make it. So other millennials like it.
I know a few of those guys. I know a couple.
Perfect. Well, I know a couple. I know more than a couple, but I know a couple that are right here with us right now, and I couldn't be happier. Thank you both so much.
Thank
Aaron
you.
Goldberg.
Thank you very much.
And I'm expecting people to applaud. Aaron Yay! Goldberg, everybody. And let's hear it for Arthur DNA. What a show.
Yeah,
so thank with you, that, let's start off by thanking, let's start off ending the show by thanking Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo for making us all sound so great.
Thank you, Brent.
Thank you.
On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, and our producer, Mark Leger, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, as ours surely did tonight, Aaron's nodding with a big smile. Yeah, for
sure. Every day, all the time.
For sure. Is that what you all say? For sure.
For sure. We say, you know, changes every week, man.
I forgot where I was. Mark, where was I? Anyway, good night, everybody. Ciao.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.